Well, we can look at some of this. I would have to kind of do it from the book and its research to do it for you. And if something goes from there, we'll just go with it, okay? And just let the Spirit have its way. To share this information on the pineal gland, as I mentioned last night to you, actually begins in the middle to late 70s for me, which is right here in this area, not far from here. And it was 1978 was the first time that I ever heard about this unique little gland from a scientific point of view in the brain that is in an adult human about 0.64 centimeters, or that would be equal to us to about a fourth of an inch. About a fourth of an inch. It's pinkish gray and white in color, and it weighs about 41 grams. The gland is large in children and begins to shrink on the onset of puberty. In adults, small deposits of such minerals as calcium make the pineal gland visible on X-ray. From the encyclopedia, it is located in the third sibial ventricle along the midline of the brain. And its name is derived from the shape of the cone, pine cone shaped, hence the Latin word pineal, or pineal. P-I-N-E-A-L, pineal. The gland is to elaborate the hormone melatonin, and the pineal gland is what is used in even lower forms of life, such as reptiles, to see. That is their ability to see, not with physical eyes, but with the pineal gland. It has been called by the mystics of thousands of years the third eye. It has probably been developed less in human beings than any other form of life to this point, that science has not even known exactly what is the purpose of the pineal gland until recently. So, it's more prevalent in many other forms of life on this planet, such as into the reptile, and do we get in there, you know, into the serpent. How many of you know you have a reptilian part of your brain? Your whole, I can think of this wonderful long word, it's called ontology, something. It's a wonderful word, but it has to do with the fact of when conception takes place with the physical body, all the way to the time that it's born, it relives the millions of years of biological evolution. You start out like a little tadpole swimming in water. Then you become more serpentine, like a little snake. And you go through the whole thing until you become a human fetus. And it takes 9 months for us to relive the whole story of biological evolution during that period. And it has a fancy big name, but I don't have it. I haven't used it in a long time, but it's a wonderful, wonderful name. So you go through all of your stages to become that human. You start out in the water, you start out crawling on as a reptilian on the earth, and so on and so forth, until you finally become a full-fledged Homo sapien human fetus. So it's kind of interesting to look at. And if I've mentioned to you, for me personally, I held it for years because of the stigma in this culture over evolution, because in this culture we're a very black-white civilization. If you're not this, then you're automatically that. True? I mean, you're automatically assumed. If this is not what you are, then that's what you are. You only have two choices. You're this or that. And a lot of us never fit into that. And I hear that so much. I heard it this weekend. Somebody's always saying to me, I've never quite fit into the scheme of things in the sense of this world. I've always felt out of place. It's because you are neither this or that. But you are the shades. You are the shades that connect this and that. You are the bridge between the two opposites that this world has produced for itself. You are the shades between what is the absolute good and the absolute evil. You are between, and it's been that space that we've all sought and went from church to church, revival to revival. We got into every movement there was, thinking, this is where I belong, this is where I belong. And maybe for a while we were caught up into something, but it wasn't long until we had that old feeling come back to us, like, I just feel like I don't belong here. You know, I thought I found it with the Sons of God movement. This is going to be my place. And this is where I was going to be forever, and I was going to be able to build something for myself. But it wasn't long until I realized that I was still in, but not completely of that. And I'm going to share with you what I heard. In my prayer and meditation about my situation, I heard, you have sought a place to drink, but there is no place for you to drink, therefore you must create it. And I stopped searching for something that was already made for me and created for me, and realized that I am the spiritual creator of a new space. And that's what I've been doing in the last several years, is trying to connect to people who feel pretty much like I do. Say, let's get together and let's create a new space. Now, the greatest challenge for me right now that I have, and soon I was talking about this, is trying to balance this thing between the spirit-filled people, we call them, and the more metaphysical and new age or new thought people who don't have the spirit but have the knowledge. The people who have the Holy Spirit are as ignorant as they can be, as far as I'm concerned, about really understanding true knowledge. They think their revelations is knowledge, but it is not inherent knowledge. It's passed down revelations. It's taken the place of theology and dogma. Am I telling you the truth? Their revelations are becoming their theology. They are becoming another religion in one sense, with their little churches and pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and all this fivefold ministry and all of this. It's just a substitute. It's just a different form, same content. So I want to bring together the this and that of this. I want to bring in the spirit into the knowledge, and I want to bring the great information that people have been gathering on this side, while the other people have their heads stuck in the spiritual sand and emotionalism, and wasn't even scared to read anything or study anything other than the Bible. I want them to have this information, and I want these people to have the spirit. So I feel the greatest place I've accomplished that is in a little place in Ohio called the Valleys and the Angels in the Valley. Beautiful setting on many acres of ground, where I have to say it's just pretty equal between people that are spirit-filled and people that come out of the so-called New Age movement. But there has been a blending of these people and a joining of people, and people are driving in from West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and all over to be in these meetings, and we're packing it out. So I feel this is maybe the prototype. If you can get a prototype, then you can start the assembly line. You can start the reproducing. So that's my heart, and I want you to know that is where my heart is, to break down the walls and to heal the stigma on people. There's a great stigma on even the term New Age, and it's all propaganda. There's propaganda. Of course, there's extreme parts of everything. Everything that isn't Christian is not mainstream Christian. We have fundamentalist Christians that are as scary as fundamentalist Islamics. When somebody with their King James Bible in their back seat and a gun in the back of their truck goes out and shoots a doctor in an abortion clinic and goes to church that night, testifies and speaks in tongues and shouts down the aisle, I think we have our own things to deal with and our own door to sweep around before we start sweeping around somebody else's door. Okay, there I go. I'm getting on my soapbox a little bit here. But I'm asking, and what I'm asking people, I'm not looking for followers. I'm not looking to be the guru or the teacher or the one, but I'm looking for those to connect with, in which we will not break rank, in which we will become a great collective ministry in the earth, supporting one another as we heal from among ourselves, so that we might turn our attention to heal the planet. I'm not looking to have a group of people with me and we're dealing with jealousy and insecurities and people. I can't deal with that. I want a people that's whole to be joined with me. I want a holy relationship with you, not some special thing going on. And I use that term in the Course of Miracles because a special relationship in the Course of Miracles means an interchange of validation of what I can't find in myself. You supply it to me. Therefore, I'm hooked into you and I need you, baby. And you ain't going anywhere as long as you give me what I haven't found in myself. It's called projection. I want you to project back to me the beauty you see in me that I can't see in myself. And as long as you'll tell me I'm beautiful and I'm wonderful, I love you. I have fallen in love with you. And that's the insanity and the neurosis that goes on in relationships in the world and in this culture today. It's scary why people get together. It's sick. It's sick. Not in every case. There are truly partners. There are co-creative partners. And I do meet them along the way. But in most senses, I just see the misery, the depression, the, oh my God, why did I do it? How do I get out of it? Look on people's face everywhere I go. Or you see those who are lonely and would like to have someone. So there's a healing needs to be done in that area. We really do. That's why I tried to do the little book back there on the relationships. It's not a big book, not a lot, but I thought it was food for thought to think about, why are you attracted to a particular individual? Okay. But you do. You have to understand from what level. If you do have these, which I do believe, that you have these seven vortices on your body, in your energy, that we call the chakra system, that you are emanating not just energy, but energy. Okay, let me say this. Energy, as it moves through our biology, produces an electrical charge. And when it does, it becomes... the energy becomes magnetized, or we call it electromagnetic energy. Do you follow that? That's what electromagnetic energy. Electromagnetic energy means that the energy has moved and connected. The vibration of the energy body connects with the frequency of the biology, and as they do, they release what's called free energy. Free energy. It's a spark of free energy comes out. That free energy becomes synergetically magnetic energy. It becomes electricity, but it's magnetic, electromagnetic, and the magnetic is an important part of it because that means magnets attract. You put two magnets together and they want to attract. They want to connect, right? So electromagnetic fields inherently attract into our life. Now what gives us to what we attract in our life is the level of our consciousness. Consciousness is information. It's information that we validate into the body-mind unit. When we insert the mind... the information into the mind-body system validated, then it enters into the magnetic field and gives the electromagnetic field its information, and the energy says, well, this is what the person wants because this is the information they have validated. For energy, in its purest form of pure awareness, has no judgment of anything. It doesn't know what's good or bad, right or wrong. It is total, pure, unadulterated love in its most pure purest form that just says, I love so much, I want you to have what you want to have or what you think you want to have. Please try to understand that. When we talk about God or the universe or pure awareness and so many names, we're talking about something that has no judgment to it, right or wrong. It just is. It's the most purest form of awareness or consciousness. How do I say that? It's so hard to talk that to a brain that is so this or that, that it doesn't know. So this old idea of a God up there who says, well, this is what I said's right for you and this is what's wrong, is not a correct picture at all. God would be an energy that is so neutral, it waits to see what it is that you validate so deeply into your mind, body, energy field. And whatever you put in there and keep putting in there, the universe says, okay, then that's what they want more of. Let me give you an example. I've traveled with preachers. From the time I started out and got the Holy Ghost at 16, I started out traveling with these old tent revival preachers down through the South. And the first one was J.C. Bishop out of Dallas, Texas. He took me on a tour down through Alabama with a tent. And we went down in Birmingham and Anston, Gadsden, Montgomery, Tuscaloosa. And I found out my job was a little more than just playing the piano for the man. But it was really getting him home at night because he was so drunk. He was paralyzed in crutches. So I learned, and I learned something, and I listened to him night after night preach against such things as he was doing. And I thought that was interesting. I was very young, but I just caught that, and I thought that's interesting. Then as I've continued to go on from one to another, and I finally got it with Jimmy Swaggart. There's nobody that has preached more against sin and adultery and all kinds of things that this man was doing. And it finally clicked into me that the universe never hears whether you are for or against something, because it has no ability to receive the right, wrong, good, or bad. If it did, then it wouldn't be pure. It's transcendent. It is pure awareness. Understand that. Therefore, it has inherently no good or bad or this or that in it. That's what love is. You that are looking for love is not an emotion. Love is a state of pure awareness in which there is no judgment made. So what finally got through my head was what preachers were preaching about. Didn't matter if they were preaching against it or for it, but if it was their theme night after night, eventually it became so validated to their spiritual awareness that that awareness gave them what they thought they talked about all the time. They must want that because they talk on it all the time. Now, I don't know if you can understand that or not, but it's absolutely the truth. It's almost like a little child. You can tell a little child when it's really small and you're trying to train it, don't slam the door. What are you going to hear? Bang! Because the kid has not developed enough from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hasn't eaten enough. And you, the family tree, becomes that tree that passes down what's good and evil to that child. They eat of the family tree, the genetics. Because they don't come in with that system. There's no baby that is born with inherent ability to know what is good or evil or right or wrong. It has to be taught. It has to be put in the transmitters and neurons of the brain. You have to train the child. That makes you, that your child's tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a family tree. And we pass it down from generation to generation. Now, I'm not trying to judge that because I realize in this world, kids need limitations, whatever. But I'm telling you, until it clicks in, neurologically, as a core belief from the outside, they cannot inherently hear in the early years, don't or do, yes or no, right or wrong. They just hear door. Well, we're the same way, because we have that child in us too. That child-like place is become as a child. Jesus said, you got to become as a child. Now, I know this is not the easiest thing to talk about to your brain, because your brain is just so programmed and full of this society's idea. Okay, but get back to your question. So where I'm storing my information that I validate doesn't just stay up here. I want you to know that. It's not just in your brain. Because you have thousands and thousands of miles of nerves that go from your brain down through the back of the neck and goes down through the spinal cord and goes to every aspect and connects every cell of your body together. And there's like a highway of information. It's electrical information that comes out. The brain is the culprit. The brain is what fathers the electrical charge of information. Trust me, information is not language as we know it. Information is an impulse of electricity. It's a current. It's chemical. I don't have to conceptualize holding this thing, but I couldn't hold this thing at all if there wasn't some message coming down through my brain, coming down through my spinal cord and going to my hand and say, you can hold this thing and put your fingers around it. But I had no conscious conceptual language involved in that at all. How many of you heard a conceptual language? Okay, you can set your behind on this chair and your knees will bend. But there was some kind of communication went on, or you couldn't do it, because everything is the Word becoming flesh. Everything is communication becoming manifested in your flesh. So what I'm trying to show you is there's many levels of communication, whether you're aware of it or not. You have very subtle levels in which information is being exchanged in your body-mind-energy field. Some of it is so subtle, you're not even conscious of it. Like putting your hand up there right now. I mean, did you go through a conscious thing about that? Okay, I think I'd just feel more comfortable if I just put my arm up like this. And I believe now it doesn't mean the finger bend here and hand go on the face. Nothing, not one thing went on. But yet some kind of information traveled from your brain to every part of your body and every cell to produce that action. Oh, now you might get why it's so important that Jesus says, be as subtle as the serpent was, but as harmless as the dove. Remember we gave you the Hebrew word, was it last night or yesterday? Remember the Hebrew word for serpent? Anybody remember it? In Genesis, the serpent? Bad Bible students. You fail that term. You failed it. What does it mean? Whisper, enchanter, mesmerize. It's a very subtle. It's almost a little nudge. Jesus says that is how misinformation has accessed itself to imprint itself neurologically into your body. And it's been successful. Right here in this town, Paris, Texas, 1979, over here where we had the church and the lumber place, I'll never forget preaching a message on don't mess with success. Be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Is that right? Oh my God, I'd love to hear that. I thought, no wonder. Whatever the serpent was very successful to bring man into a fallen state of consciousness. Don't throw the serpent out, just raise it on the pole. and take the success of what has separated mankind and brought him into a fallen state, whatever that was at that time. And I thought, Jesus, that is the greatest thing. Be as wise as the serpent was, but change your motive and your agenda behind it. What was the agenda behind dividing and conquering can be the same method used to heal and bring together and unite. There's nothing new under the sun. There's not some new magical formula that I'm going to come up with. There's not some new formula and some new revelation, some prophet's going to come through town. It's all been done. It's all been tried. The only thing that needs to be changed is the motive behind it. We need to have a shift from fear to love. So, you have chakras that are below the waist, for instance. And most human beings, that's where we have lived up to this time. I call it living below your waist. And that's left over from our evolutionary process, because the most two important things to be a human on this planet is to survive. I mean, if you can survive, that's been the goal, is survival. How do you survive? One, reproducing the species. That's why we've survived. We've survived wars, famines, disease, black plague, all kinds of things in history. We would see that things could have wiped out the whole human race. But our ability to reproduce our species and pass our genetics down has been our form of watered-down immortality. Your immortality has lived on. That's why that Bible is just full of who begat, who was the son of who. I mean, the biggest thing was to produce children and especially sons. Women's importance was to produce sons. Are you with me? Well, to do that in evolution, I don't think some spiritual god thought up sex. I can't imagine. So I don't think that spirit has probably ever had sex the way human beings would have sex. Didn't have to have sex because it was androgynous and it could just bring itself forth from itself. But I think through the evolutionary process of evolving, we ourselves has produced a way to procreate by producing an attraction between men and women for the purpose of procreation. That's why most animals still use sex for procreation. Humans, who finally developed an individual ego separate from the scheme of nature, we really did. Human beings kind of pulled away. We got through our animal beast realm and we moved into that adolescent human. We had a consciousness and we really were at that time, whether we were conscious or unconscious, using our divine power. How do I say these things? My God, what can you get into here? What I'm saying to you, sex in its most primitive is for the purpose of procreation. Human beings started developing something beyond the animal kingdom. And that was emotion and feeling and early stages of consciousness. So they begin to realize that procreating the race felt good. So they started making sex more than for procreation, but it became a thing for pleasure. And hence starts all of the stuff we've been dealing with ever since. There is no all-knowing great wisdom of God that have ever started something that has been absolutely so painful and so bizarre. Most people that I know have spent more time grieving and hurting over marriages and divorces infidelity and all kinds of things, all because everything is so sexually orientated today. I get really tired of it, to be honest with you. I'm tired of every billboard. I'm tired of every advertisement. I'm tired of everything we do is to look sexy. Our sexual orientation is our whole identity. It's the whole conversation. People have a fixation, oh my God, with sexuality that is so neurotic and so sick to me and unbalanced that it's just pathetic. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we didn't move on up the stature. We didn't move up above living below our waist. And therefore, we've continued to evolve and to gain more and more consciousness, which we kept stuffing into the two root chakras, which was for sexual attraction, for procreation. And we've gotten stuck there until everything is surrounded around our sexuality, come on, and our connection with the tribe or family. So, what we are attracting magnetically into our life is the level in which we have validated consciousness as an absolute. Now, you may say consciously, I don't know about that, and I don't know that I've done that. But you've got to understand, consciousness is the tip of the iceberg. If you really want to do healing work with people or any type of really, well, healing is a broad term here. Healing means many things. But if you really want to have a ministry with people, the best way that you can do something for somebody is not to be their psychological therapist. Psychotherapy does not work. And you can go and spend anywhere from $60 to $200 to $300 an hour anymore, according to what you go to out there, to have things changed psychologically in your brain, and if you do attain to that, you plugged into a system you have to stay with the rest of your life, because you're not dealing with core belief issues, because they're not in the brain. They start in the brain, but once they are so validated to the point that the universe, whatever you choose to call it, finally says this person is believing this is their absolute, then it is given to the nervous system and becomes neurologically coded as a core belief in the neurological system of the body. And that's why Spirit is trying to tell us all that we've got to do something to bypass the conceptual part of the brain mind and access where the information has been coded as root or assumption beliefs neurologically. So, what's going to happen and what's going to change? Now, what I notice is people get rid of one thing and go find it in another form. That's the insanity. They say that's the definition of insanity. It's what, doing the same thing over and over and over and over and thinking that you might get a different result. I see it. I've been in the ministry for years. I pastored, and women would come to me and abused horrible, miserable marriages and relationships, and we'd pray them out, and they wanted to be prayed out, they wanted to get out, and they would get out, and they would get out, and oh, praise the Lord, I'm away. And then, you know, they call you 6 months later, 3 months later, a year later, and they said, oh, Brother David, how's Brother David? I tell you, I was at so-and-so meeting, I tell you, my eyes met, and we met, and I tell you, I found the one the Lord wants me to have. Oh, we want to have you over for dinner. Somebody, oh, I'm over to dinner, and I'm there about 10 minutes, and I'm going, oh my God, it's the same one in a different package. And sure enough, 3-6 months later, oh, Brother David, we need to get together. I need counseling. We need to pray. I tell you, this man's nuts. I'm miserable. In the beginning, I thought he loved what I loved. I loved Chinese food. He loved Chinese food. He went to the meetings with me. And oh, my God, I thought I'd found my true, true partner in life. We're going to have a great ministry for the Lord together. Now, this man, all he wants to do is sit in his easy chair and drink his Budweiser and watch football every day. And I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so miserable. So nothing's going to change till you change your vibratory frequency. Arise. Jesus, tell everybody, rise. And the word rise in the Greek that he used means collect your faculties. Or would you get it together? Would be the slang. Collect your faculties. Look it up at Strong's Concordance. Collect your faculties. What faculties? It means your divine inherent faculties. Your ability to see through the walls of illusion of society and culture and start seeing your plan and your purpose and reading your book of life and your script and make that word become the flesh of your life. That book will produce the right mate for you. That book will produce the finances into your life. That book will produce the joy that is unspeakable and full of joy. That book will become the flesh that will give you the right vocation and ministry of your life. That book will give you health in your bones. Amen. Oh. So, how we got on this? Anyway, why? But it's a law of the universe to keep bringing it back. It's not anything to beat yourself up. If this anyway is fitting you in any way, I'm not telling you this to go out here and say, oh my God, how stupid I've been. Oh, why did I do that? That's not it. Do not do that. And this is the point where it starts. Healing starts with yourself. Forgiveness starts with yourself. It doesn't mean you should go out of here and go call some ex that you haven't seen who used to beat you up or treat you whatever and say, I want you to know I forgive you.
Yeah.
Forgive you. Forgive yourself right now. Let yourself off the hook. You can't carry your past anymore. You've held on to a suitcase so long you thought it belonged to you. But I tell you, one of these days when you set it down and go, oh, that feels a whole lot better, and let go of some of that baggage, because that baggage is a part of the misinformation that's getting into your mind-body system that is attracting the wrong thing into your life. But the other side of the coin is spiritual, because spirit is in everything. Even the messes that we make, Spirit says, I'll come into it, because all things can work together. Amen. That there are no mistakes, but there's only lessons in your life. Amen. If you'll learn the lessons and move on, amen, then you can bring up a higher vibratory frequency of attraction into your life, and you can change everything, amen, and what you're attracting to yourself. But you're not going to do it with carrying this baggage around about yourself, this low self-esteem, and I'm not pretty enough, and I'm not smart enough, and I'm not good enough, and I've made too many mistakes. You're just a product of free will, and free will is the most divine thing you have in your being. It is the only part of you that's equal with God. It is God. That's why you have free will. Free will means there's nothing greater or lower, but it's only equal to. Free will can't pray to God, because God is free will. Whatever. Do you get what I'm saying? That's your divinity. And oh, one of the things I love to get people to do in bringing their past into the present. You see, hypnotherapy and other things have a tendency to regress you back. They have it the wrong way. I would take you back not to let you relive the past. I would take you back so you could bring it into the present and rerun that part of your movie into the level of consciousness in which you've attained now,
by shifting your perception to see it as something in which you've learned and see what you've learned from it and empower your present moment now and realize you're just a little smarter today than you was then because of going through that. Therefore, at some point, it becomes something other than something you've hated in your life, but it becomes something that you integrate in as one of the great glories of your life that has brought you to this place. Jesus said in the course of miracles, every relationship is a holy relationship or a holy encounter. In other words, there's absolutely nothing, no matter what it is you attract into your life, that at another level cannot empower you. Let me give you one of the greatest scriptures. One of the greatest scriptures for me. I can't tell you. I've gone through times, what we call dark times, but there was no darker time for me than after I'd left, before I came here to pastor, when I was pastoring in Little Rock. And I mean, everything had turned against me. I've never in my life ever been through that period of time. And the most interesting thing, a woman that I knew, who was a friend of Brenda Jack's, who was not in the Sons of God message. They were good friends back in the Pentecostal church, Assembly of God church. Brenda went into the Sons of God. This woman did not. She stayed. But they remained friends, and I had met her. And she liked me. But she never came to meetings. She didn't agree with what we were teaching. But she had love. She had really love. She had something that was very real. And right in the midst of this crisis, I don't know why I'm telling you this, in this dark place I was in, she called me. I was at the church office. And she called me, she says, could I come and see you? I just have to come and see you. I dreamed about you last night. And there's something I had to tell you. And I said, sure. So I don't remember exactly what she dreamed, but in the dream, she was told to give me the scripture, and it's in Hebrews 5, starting with verse 1, 2, 3, 4, through 3. And this may not mean a thing to you, but maybe it's just where I was. You know, maybe it was a living word to me. It wasn't the letter. But it said, God has taken out from among men, in things pertaining to God. Did you get that? So God has taken out from among humanity certain humans for the purpose of pertaining to godly things, for God mission, God purpose. Then it goes on and says, for how can the ignorant know the way unless we ourselves are first compassed with such infirmity? And it became so clear to me that there are those of us who have said yes before we came in the pre-existent state of being one of those among humanity who would walk through some of the darkest places of the human condition for the purpose of having true compassion. But some of the issues I've had to walk through into my humanity, I don't know if it's so funny. I'm not sure I want to sit down and I sure don't want somebody slapping me on the hand and say, you can just stop that, when it's something in the fabric of your nature, your character, your being, or whatever it is, it don't work. And you just want to get away from those people. And that's what I've done, Libby, all these years. I just keep getting away. Because I can't deal with stupidity. I can't deal with the recordings of society and culture and religion going off in people's brains. I'm tired of people just reacting and saying things that they are not conscious of, that they can't set down. Let me tell you something. The only way human beings are going to get their act together with each other and have a corporate expression is when there's a space of so safe that people can be so honesty that we can understand aspects of humanity that each has gone through. You can't. There's an old saying the Native Americans say, you don't know anything about me till you walked in my moccasins. You know, and you can get all religious and self-righteous and say, well, I love you anyway. Oh, God, I hate that one. Brother David, I just want you to know, I love you anyhow. Well, I go, oh, piss off. You know, the people that I know, and I'm so thankful, not huge, but I do have a wonderful spiritual family out there across this country. Do you know how I know when people love me? Because they don't say things like that. They just love me. Now, I'm not saying it's not bad to say I love you and appreciate you sometimes as an expression of that. But if it's a substitute, if you're not feeling the expression first, you know. The animal part of me knows those dogs and those cats out there, they know exactly when you walk by, if you're friendly or not, if you really like them or not. You're not going to fool them because they're reading your vibration and your frequency. They don't care about your words. Babies will do the same thing. People's always pushing babies into my arms when I was a pastor, and I've always was expected to say, what the cutest little thing here was. And I'm thinking, what an ugly baby. This is an ugly baby. The baby knows what I'm thinking. It says, wow, let me out of here. But you have to put the act on. You have to be politically correct. You have to be socially right. You have to be religiously correct. Oh my God, y'all hear what we're saying here. Forget the pineal gland. You can read the book. So, gatherings like this, and this certainly has been one this weekend that I felt, has raised our vibratory frequency in many ways. I am going to predict. I'm not going to prophesy. I'm going to speak a creative word. This is right now stuff. This isn't tomorrow. I'm saying right now, as you move from this place today and go into the mundane of your life, that you are going to see everything new. Everything that is old has become new to you. And you need to stop and get right now this lie out of your mind that by changing them is going to make you happy. Every time you think that and try that, you're giving your power away to somebody else and you're empowering them all the more. You're digging yourself in deeper. Because the ego mind says, no, you can't be happy until the situation outside of yourself is changed. That is not the truth. You don't want that kind of happiness and joy and peace. You want the happy and joy and peace that you are, not what you get from people playing in your drama. There's nothing more stressful than trying to hold people into a part that you give them in your movie. That's why there's a breakdown of marriages and relationships, among other things, is the fact of people get a role to play with you, and people can't keep their mask on all the time. And even if they stay, then they've got to sneak around and have a little dark secret life out there where they can go. A man will go pay a prostitute so he doesn't have to have his mask on and he can be who he is. That's why he doesn't stay home. Because he's got to get out of the role that you put him in. And vice versa. I tell you, this is $200 an hour counseling here. I want you all to know. We do take credit cards too. I want you to know. Oh, wow. Now, I love talking like this. I think this is what we need. I think we need some right down where we live type of talking. So we want Spirit to raise our vibratory frequency. We want the Spirit to move above the waist. And let's move into these areas, these three important areas I talked to you about. You want to get into your solar plex. Solar plex is where we store situations in our life that we perceive from an emotional level. So you have a lot, everything you've denied is pushed into this area. That's why we have so much stomach, intestine, colon cancers, all kinds of things. It's because people are not dealing with stuck, trapped consciousness in this area that is stored. See, every chakra is like a computer chip that holds certain information for certain things in your life. See, this is your root chakras, right? Just right here, right about where the coccyx is, right? Right where the back and the tailbone start coming together there. And if you think about all the colon cancers and all the things that are dealing, mainly it's because we've given our power away to our families. Huh? You go and you act like what they want you to be. If your parents are still alive, the minute you get in their presence, you just become their child. You don't speak your truth. You don't express yourself. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious with it. But by golly, if you go Thanksgiving and Christmas to the family and they ask you this time what you think about something, you better speak your truth and not dance around it for your health. Your health is going to depend on the fact that you spoke and expressed your truth rather than tap the recorder and the recorder goes off into what they expect you to react to them. Don't react, be proactive. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not saying going in there and start something. If your family's all Baptist, there's no reason to start going in there and telling them about the Elohims and the Nanaki and all this. I'd suggest not. But I swear, if they come and they say to you, you know, I've been thinking about something, or I heard something, or I read something, what do you think about it? Then you call in the divine wisdom, amen, with your ability of knowledge and bring them together and let the Spirit give the information. But whatever you give and choose to give, or how much you choose to give, let it be clear and accurate. And if you do, you'll start cleansing and cleaning out old stuff that is stuck in that chakra. And if you can get rid of what's in that chakra, there's like blockages, just dam that dams up. That's why it says the seals of the book, the seven seals, have been all sealed up in the book of life, because the energy, the God energy, is not flowing freely. If the God energy is flowing freely through this system, then it activates inherent intelligence of cells, and cells get clear information on how to reproduce themselves and duplicate themselves. They're getting misinformation. They are confused, and our bodies are the result of it. Then we go around and we don't think anything about saying, oh, you're a pain in my butt. Chakra says, okay, we can do that. We can give you pain in your butt. No problem. All things are possible. I don't know why you want it, but hey, you're my child and I love you. That'll make you happy. Watch these little subtle. See, it's the things up here says, oh, that don't mean anything. That's so silly. I didn't mean that. One thing that I've taught for years is the universe cannot take a joke. The universe cannot take a joke. Clean up your speech. And it's I'm telling you, it's not the easiest thing to do. Sue and I've been talking, you know, driving back and forth. We was talking about how not to be judgmental, and every time we went in the car, we've made some judgment about something. But we were aware of it. And that's the beginning. Awareness is the beginning, and not to beat yourself up as a failure. Just say, I am so glad I recognize and could. I wasn't sucked in by the emotion. I was not knocked out consciously that I didn't know I was judging. Nobody has to retaliate. And that's the thing in me when I get in this part of the country, because I know, you know, I feel the darts and I feel the stuff coming, and something rises up in my defense mechanism and says, all right, shoot back. You're being shot at. But the real truth, I need to lay down my weapons and learn war no more. I know that. And when I'm proactive, I wouldn't do that. But when I go back into a reactionary, neurological reaction where I've stored past information. You got to understand, this is past information. I have really no present thing to go by to have data. I'm going by what I know or have been told or whatever. Then I feel defensive and I, protect yourself, something's coming. You know, if somebody's going to hit you or something's going to... Now get this. Where you tense your body, you register consciousness in that part of your body. That's how things know how to find where it manifests in your body. A lot of times, the dynamics. That's what's been missing. No one has broken it down to the dynamics. Satan has no advantage because I am not ignorant of his devices. And the word devices in the Greek means trickery, scheme, or plan. It's a process. It's a process. And once we understand the process and not let the process control us, but realize that we are the lords and the masters. You know, we have let the servants run the house. Is that in the scripture? Is there a parable somewhere? I heard someone on a tape and I thought it was so good, but I can't find it. But I thought, boy, it's a good one. Jesus should have said it. But it's something about how the masters are run by the servants in the house. But it's the truth. I don't care if anybody ever said it or wrote it. It's the truth. We have let the servants in our house run the Lord and the Master. And it's time for us to restore back to our place and position as the Lord God's of our house. It's time for deity to rule again in the house of God. Just to put it into a simple language. I used to get up and quote, "This is the day the Lord has made." And then I just kind of wait and see, well, okay, I quoted it. Now, Lord, do you make this the day that you have made, and in it shall I rejoice? Until I finally got it, I'm the Lord. How can he be the Lord of the Lords until there's some Lords to be the Lord of? Yeah. Where's the kings that the king is the king of? Good. That's the silliest thing I ever heard. We're going, he's the Lord. We made him all the Lord of the Lords, but without lords.
Amen.
So be the Lord of your house. Let love rule and reign over fear. I am speaking that our vibratory frequency has changed. Our electrons are at a different rate and speed around the neurons, around the nucleus of our cells. And that you have come up hither where no dragons abide. And it's not because we reached out and fixed anything or anyone or molded them into your image and likeness so you could have a little peace and joy. But it's because we've unpeeled enough layers in you, you found out you are your joy. And there's no circumstance, person, or situation that can take your joy away from you any longer because you walk in the state of the being that you are. And my advice to all of us in this room is go on and be about our Father's business. And let thy will be done. And leave it there. Just leave it there this morning. Thy will be done. Because I know thy will is not for me to feel limited and trapped and miserable. I know it is your pleasure to give me the kingdom of heaven And today I do remember I am worthy enough to loose the seals of this book. That's why nobody is loosing the seals. Huh? Fifth chapter of Revelation. No one loosed those seals. Why? Because nobody was worthy. You've got to know you're worthy. Can we just do that right now? See if you can get in touch with it. I want you to get in touch with... I want you to see yourself as you see it through the eyes of your Creator. If you could just see you like your spiritually heavenly Father sees you today, and you could know that. Not because I said it. Holy Spirit, you said you would help us remember. You said you would guide us and lead us and teach us into the truth that makes us free. So I'm putting you to it today. I use and talk about you every day of my life almost. I address the Holy Spirit, and now I'm calling upon you in this present time to come and do just exactly what you said you would do, because we're giving you willingness to do it. You said all we needed to do was give a little willingness and you would be there. I say thy will be done. Peel back any layer of misinformation about ourselves. Take it out of the neurons of our brain. From culture, society, and religion. That has distorted our perceptions of ourselves. Let every veil be rent from top to bottom, and let the grave clothes come off. And let us just stand naked in your naked joy. Oh, that last fig leaf is so hard to let go of. They're going to make fun of me. How can I stand here naked? But oh, I've got to. I've hidden way too long behind labels, layers, and tried to be this for that one and this thing for that one. I've got to be me. I've got to be myself. I'm enough. And I don't even want anybody else in my life again until I know I'm enough. I don't want no soulmates mirroring what I need to heal in me. I don't want anybody to have to raise and save. I don't want anybody else that we exchange and enter into contracts that reduces us from divine beings. I want to be with those who are whole as I am whole. I'm looking for those that have their male and female energies integrated. I am no longer desperate. I do not fall below my waist into the lower places of the chakras to pull in. All attractions are not for sexual reasons. I can love. As women, I can love other women. And I can also love other men without a sexual connotation. As a man, I can love another man, and I can love a woman without a sexual connotation. Sex does not always have to be the reason that I feel the attraction. I'm attracted to come and produce from the heart. For out of the heart come the issues of life and the issues of our children. And these are new ideas of how to heal our planet, and ideas of how to be prosperous, and ideas of how to be a blessing, and ideas. These become the children of the kingdom. Find your power to speak your truth. That's all you'll have to do. Some of you are saying, I don't know how to do it. I am so sucked in. I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I'd make a living. I don't know how to do this. But let me tell you something. If you will go and from this day speak your truth, life will rearrange itself according to a greater and higher purpose and plan for your life. And the heavens will be open unto you. And the universe will
express itself in miraculous ways that you never comprehended. For I shall do superabundantly all that you've ever asked, all that you've ever prayed. I shall bring to you what you've never even conceived that you are worthy to receive shall be given unto you. Try and see if I am that which you have said I am. No more vain, empty words of praise, for you are my praise. You don't need to praise me. I have no ego to receive your praise.
Your true praise is being who you are. And being who you are to one another, you become the praise to all mankind. Take a deep breath. And on the exhale, just let everything settle. Just let the shift. Just feel a shift here. Just feel the shift. Just feel. Just like the Spirit is being an energetic chiropractor and just putting things right back. Right back and together. Find the Christ equilibrium. Find it. You've been off so long you thought it was normal. Holy Spirit's doing it. If Holy Spirit's not doing it, then Holy Spirit isn't Holy Spirit. I'm going to something else. This is the day. This is the day this Lord has made for God to be God. This is the day the Lord hath made for the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord hath made that the kingdom come. I don't know what kind of day you're making, but this is the day I'm making. Not another Sunday, not another meeting that we're going to shut down and go right back into everything that we did. This is the day. So be it. Just be blessed. And the motive and the heart is so set. The kingdom is so set in there. But now it needs to be done in earth. It's time. It's time to entrust you with some things that you've had a vision for. It's time for them to come now. The testing is over. Qualification has taken place and the heavens are being opened above your head. Listen to your heart. Go that way. Question not. Seek nothing. Only receive. Receive. Seek nothing. Just receive. Oh, and we pray such a wonderful blessing upon this place before we come to a close of this part of the weekend. Upon Libby and Jean, all of the physical and mental work. And Sharon and everybody that's involved in this local place, we just ask such a replenishing and restoring of their life and energy and all that they've given to us, and just come back to them more than 100-fold until their cup overflows. Just wind up all this legal stuff and paper stuff and just let it all go and free them to move on with their vision and producing the dream that they have of this multi-purpose building that's reaching out to humanity, and the same building can be used to bring in those who need a drink once in a while from the Spirit and from the fellowship of those of like mind and of like heart.